Well, the other agencies, of course, who are looking at perhaps having their budgets cut through sequestration, had to realize, or you know, probably realize that exempting the VA from any cuts basically puts an additional burden on each of them. Basically, our estimate is, you know, the VA, had it been included, the discretionary portion of the VA budget would have had to been cut about $4.6 billion. So basically now, if you take VA sort of off the table, then you've got to take that $4.6 billion and distribute it among the other agencies and their discretionary spending to make up for the fact that you're not getting it from the VA anymore.
And OMB has the discretionary authority to exempt VA or any agency it chooses?
Well, actually, OMB cited interpretations of various laws. In other words, no, they don't unilaterally have the authority through the Budget Control Act to just exempt an agency. They cited a bunch of different laws that they interpret as leaving the VA's discretionary budget off the table.
One of the things I really like, you've written a story and we've put it on federalnewsradio.com, but you include with it this great graph of total non-defense discretionary spending, and the amount that you just mentioned that was estimated for sequestration at the VA, $4.6 billion, is actually more than what some agencies get in their regular budget. So that's a huge amount to a lot of agencies.
Oh, sure. I mean, if you look at, and again, our figures are taken, we're all basing the numbers on the president's 2013 budget request. So those aren't, you know, obviously Congress may do something different, but right now this is what the president is asking for. And sure, $4.6 billion is right about what the Army Corps of Engineers gets in its entire budget for 2013.
All right. So looking then across, I mean, do we have any indication that any other agencies will be non-sequestered or protected from sequestration?
At this point, no. I mean, again, in the law on the defense side, you know, the sequestration cuts are split for 2013. It's about $55 billion on the non-defense side and $55 billion on the defense side. On the defense side, the president, as part of the law, can exempt the personnel accounts, meaning that, you know, troops pay and benefits, direct, you know, monetary benefits are exempt. Or the president has the authority to exempt them, and everybody believes that if sequestration were to come to pass, that the president would do that. And again, that sort of has a similar kind of effect within the defense budget. Basically, by exempting those personnel accounts, which are a significant portion of the defense budget, you basically make the cuts in the rest of the defense budget. They have to go deeper. The estimate is, roughly, we heard from the Air Force comptroller a while back, that basically you've got to cut all other defense by about 13% to compensate for the fact that you've sort of blocked the personnel accounts in the defense budget. But other than that, no, the president doesn't necessarily have any authority to take other agencies off the table.
Okay, so just to be clear, because Congress is considering sort of exempting DOD in addition to VA, would that have an impact on these agencies here, these non-defense civilian agencies?
Well, yeah, actually, there's one piece of legislation that I think Congressman McKeon, who's the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, and there's a companion bill, I think, in the Senate, he's looking at just protecting for 2013, in other words, not undoing the whole thing, but just dealing with 2013. And his bill talks about, you know, basically, I believe, some continued pay freezes on federal employees and a reduction in force, not a reduction in force, but a lowering of the hiring, basically, for every three people that retire in the federal workforce, only one person would be hired, and you would reduce the federal workforce, the civilian workforce, down by about 10% through that mechanism. Of course, and that hits all that would hit all agencies by reducing those personnel, if that's the way that you would achieve the savings, including the Department of Defense. As far as I can tell, his legislation doesn't exempt DOD federal civilians either, so even the federal civilians in DOD would also, you know, there would be a reduction there through this sort of attrition process.
We're speaking with Rob Levinson, defense analyst at Bloomberg Government. And, of course, the sequestration applies to the discretionary budget. Any indication that anything outside of the discretionary budget could be touched at all here? I mean, well, I'm thinking of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Well, there is a portion, actually a very limited portion of the non-discretionary, in other words, mandatory non-defense spending. Basically, when you break down the $55 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office, about $39 billion actually comes out of discretionary spending, and about $16 billion, this is for 2013, would come out of some mandatory spending, particularly Medicare. But there's a sort of a cap on it's only about 2% of Medicare that can really be touched, and some other a limited amount of mandatory spending. There is some cuts to Social Security Administration. You can see it on that chart that's part of the article you posted. Of course, that's really the operating costs of Social Security, you know, the administrative sorts of costs. The actual payments and benefits, that's mandatory spending, and that's not touched as it currently is. But now Congress could decide that the way that they're going to, you know, deal with sequestration is they could decide through through, you know, a normal budget process that they're going to try and save money in entitlement spending or something like that. They could certainly do that and say this is to come up with to offset some of the things, you know, that sequestration would require. But that's sort of up to Congress, and they could certainly do that.
2% of Medicaid is about 14.
Medicare
rather is about $14 billion. So it's probably not trivial. But what I wanted to ask you was, what about contractors? What should they be doing to prepare for this whole sequestration possibility?
Well, you know, that's something that we're actually in the midst of trying to figure out. You know, this hasn't been done in a long time. The last time this was done of any significance was back in 1986. But, you know, it all depends on, you know, come the beginning of the fiscal year, how the government deals with this. They could simply, you know, continue to sign contracts as normal, and then if sequestration hits, they might have to break those contracts. Alternatively, the government may decide, well, we're only going to sign contracts up to the limit below sequestration, and therefore we won't run into those kind of problems, or they could try and negotiate with contractors some sort of contingency clauses within the contracts where they would say, okay, here the contract is X, but if sequestration happens, then the contract is Y. But it's unclear, you know, again, how the government might approach this and then how the contractors might respond. The contractors may say, hey, to the degree that they can, and some of them probably could, let's just wait till January and see what happens here. Others may not be in a position where they can simply wait, and so they're going to have to figure out how they deal with this real uncertainty as to how, you know, if sequestration will hit and then how the government might apply it if it does.